Hello and welcome to the Inner Gamer episode 307. We are the video game source for you, the casual gamer. My name is, of course, Brayton Oski.
And I am Awesome Rouse. And this week on the Inner Gamer podcast, we played way more Valheim than we want to admit. And we had some, well, I did. I don't know about Brett. Brett, okay, look, there's a snowstorm. Okay, power went out. We couldn't all play. It sucks. But
shit went down.
You know what? We made it through, and we had some adventures, and we're going to talk to you about it right here. And in the gaming news, we have some big announcements from Nintendo, and then Control doubled their profits in 2020 without even releasing a game, which is crazy. And then Brett gets all giddy about Hawkeye DLC for Marvel.
Yes.
Yep. See, there he goes. All right. Calm down, Brett. Calm down. And for our discussion topic, we're talking about BlizzCon 2021. It happened. And are we hyped for Diablo and Overwatch? A lot more details have come out, mostly for Overwatch. And we're surprised.
Cue that music. Welcome to the Inner Gamer. It is February 23rd, 2021. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. Yes, that's right. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. Austin, are you excited right now?
Super excited.
Wow. Wow. Our fans are like...
No, I'm excited, disconnecting, man. I'm super
right
excited.
Now. They're just like done. They're just like leaving right now. They're just like, these guys aren't excited about it like I am, and therefore they're just leaving us.
But hey,
y'all should stay here.
I'm hurt that you would ask me that.
Oh, wait. Why would you be hurt? You should be just like...
Because of course I'm excited.
Yeah, but yeah, you got
to
show it.
You don't need to ask me that.
You
got to
show it. You got to be like, yeah, I'm excited. Fuck yeah.
Ain't no one looking at me right now?
They could be. You never know. They could be like watching through your webcam right now creepily and stuff like that. I don't know.
The government? Yes, the government is looking.
Freaking Mr. Robot style shit. I don't know. You never know. Anyway, everybody, welcome to the show. If you're a first-time listener, I'm sorry we derailed ourselves already, but you know this is what it is. This is what you sign up for when you watch or listen to the show. But we made this podcast for our fans, so if you ever have any feedback, you should totally hit us up on social media or just send us an email at hello@theinnergamer.net, and we would gladly talk about whatever you have to say on this podcast. So if you just want to be like, man, these guys are a bunch of fucking idiots, we'll talk about that and tell you why you're wrong. Or you can tell us that you have this like really great idea about this thing and we want to like, you want to hear us talk about it. We'll talk about that too. It'd be great. If you're a return visitor, you can definitely stick around with us because we appreciate you being here. You know, it's a great time to be just, you know, it's a great time to be alive. You know, we're in a new year. If you're one that lives in Texas, you realize that we aren't built for snow and we like freaking like basically caved in and like shut down over the last like week because of snow that hit us and like destroyed our entire electrical grid and fucked everything up. So yeah, it's been an interesting week for Texans.
Not only did it destroy the electrical grid, it destroyed the water supply as well.
And it destroyed the water supply, yes.
And cut off the roads for food to get to the grocery stores. It was the apocalypse over here, by the way.
It's like if you didn't have power, you didn't have water. If you didn't have water, you didn't have internet. Or you had all the things, but then by the end of it, you didn't have one of the things because like
food.
A pipe would burst, or you didn't have food, or all the shit was gone in the stores, or
I don't know,
you couldn't drive to the store. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that happened, but then all of a sudden it like turned 60 degrees a day when it was like freaking 25 degrees 2 days ago. I don't understand Texas. It's a wonder why people aren't sicker than they are, but.
I forget. Yeah. I was watching a video on Star Wars rumors and stuff like that, and they're like, "Well, shout out to everyone in Texas. Hope you're doing okay." And I'm just like, I forget how much people like actually pay attention to Texas. Like, this is our problems. I didn't expect people to be like, "Oh, everyone, shout out to them." You
know, there's people in other countries like saying stuff about it. I'm like, yeah, I mean, it sucked, but it's like crazy.
I'm like, okay, it's okay. We're doing fine over here. We're gonna survive. Yeah. We're survivors. Yeah. That's what Texans are.
Yeah, most of them. Yeah. We did have like 50 some people that passed away. Rest in peace.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure.
But we will bounce back.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. But we definitely learned a lot this past week, for sure. Like I'm going to make sure I drip my faucets more often. I'm going to make sure that I have water in my house. Yeah, conserve energy. Make sure I turn my lights off sometimes. Like, don't have every freaking thing in the house plugged in. That's going to like, it's really bad situation right now. And the fact that we have like, you know, smart technology, it's like there was a point where we just had like television that we turn on at night. And now it's like every freaking thing in our house is plugged in to the internet in some form or fashion. So it's hard when you like lose that, you know, it's like, what do you do?
God forbid your phone was on low when the power went out.
Oh, God, yeah.
I luckily was able to charge my phone at night through my battery. And then as soon as I got the power back on, I was like, all right, charge both my portable batteries for my phone and my iPad and charge my iPad and, you know, make sure I have batteries because I had to use LED flashlights and just aim them at the ceiling to have some light in my house.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I was walking around for a while when the sun was going down. And it was dark, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I have a question. Did you play the Switch during this time?
It was dead.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
That's the one thing I was like, I feel like everybody probably maybe would have had like at least 3 hours, like at least a charge Switch. But if it was dead, that sucks. Because I was like, if I lose power, like I have 3 hours of Switch enjoyment. And then I had a battery backup I plugged in the wall that will give me an extra 2 hours of juice for like a space heater. And then after that, I'm like 5 hours later, I'm screwed. Like I don't have anything left. But
well, honestly, that night when my power went out, I was eating dinner and then I just like the power went out after that. Actually, it went right before I was going to make it. I was going to put it in my slow cooker and on my crock pot. The power went out. I was like, well, there goes that idea. Luckily, I have gas for to light my stove up, so cook that.
That's good.
And then I was like, well, the power's out, so I found the flashlights and I started watching. I was able to hotspot my iPad to my phone and it barely had enough internet because it was so cold, like I was losing signal for some reason. And I was able to watch a few episodes and had some hiccups, but by the end of it, like it was dark, it was cold. I was like, I'm going to bed. It was 7:30. I was like, I'm tired. I'm done with this. I'll wake up tomorrow and hopefully the power turns on in the middle of the night.
And then it didn't.
But it did not. Actually, I ended up just going to work at like 9 at night because I knew in the morning was going to suck. And that's when that was day two.
Yeah.
And all the roads were all crazy.
Yeah.
Not good. I barely made it.
Yeah. So everybody that's listening to this that lives up in the north, like, you know, anywhere above like Texas, which is basically everybody, but if you're living above the north and you're like, man, these guys are freaking bunch of plebs, I agree. We aren't well insulated down here in Texas. We have people that I've seen houses that like had their pipes, their water pipes, like going through their attic, and you know they're not insulated, so when their pipes froze, it like bursted and like freaking wet their entire attic, which crashed down in their house. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that sucks.
Yeah.
And just a lot of stuff that just I'm hoping we realize that, hey, we gotta prepare ourselves a little bit better next time for the once every 30 years moment when our temperatures get down to below freezing. For 4 days in a row, we were below freezing. Like literally 4 days straight, we had below freezing temperatures. That's never happened as far as I remember. It's crazy.
So here's a cool firefighter story. We went to go cut off water, and it was this bar, and the main area you come in is raised above this lower section where people sit. So their pipes burst and it was flooding from the higher section to the lower section. And we were like, why don't you just open that door to let all this water flood out? And it's like, oh, you can't because the water is pushing against the door. The door only opens in. So you have all this water like piling up next to the door.
Pull just against the water.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you even could do that because there's just like all that pressure because it's funneling through the sides of the doors and you can see like, I'm surprised that thing hasn't broke yet. It wasn't super high, but I was just like, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, man.
Crazy, man.
That's wild.
It's crazy. People's businesses are destroyed. We had literally nothing but cut off water for like that second shift I came back right after everything had happened. It was not cool.
Damn.
And then then we had to actually assign other apparatuses strictly for going to cut off water because literally every other call was cut off water across the city of Dallas. Yeah. It was not cool. Anyway.
Well, let's talk about some video games. now you guys know what happened with Texas last week. So let's talk about some video games a little bit. If you haven't tuned into us before on twitch.tv/UnionGamerCast, you should totally do that every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. You all streamed last week, right? Except the server wasn't functioning, right?
Yeah, we had happened. To go back.
So you went back to the old days and
Travis's world.
Yeah.
And we needed time to, we're redoing our whole base there because Travis had destroyed all of his base, moved all his stuff over. Sarah had done the same to hers. Luckily, the portals were still there. So we were just trying to mine stuff and get ready for when the server did open up. And we needed wood, but we had cut down so many trees around us, there was not much left. So Travis ended up destroying all of his base because he still had all the structure up. And then we're like, man, we need more wood. Where do we get wood? Oh, yeah. Brett's base. So your base got totally demolished.
What? And, destroyed my base?
We took all your stuff that was there.
Oh, my God.
We're like, I've been like, what if the server doesn't come up for a while?
So wait, hang on a minute. Okay,
it was a flip of the coin.
So this whole freaking time, I was watching the stream with a recording of stuff. Sarah's freaking sitting there blaming me for stealing their shit from their base. And y'all came and stole all my shit from my base?
Yeah, your old base that you don't go to anymore.
Yeah, but I could have.
You could have. Oh, my God. We're waiting for
hypocrisy, my friend. Hypocrisy.
So this is, from Sarah, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Sarah. It was a flip of a coin because the server might not have come back up for who knows how long. Yeah. And then we start playing in Travis's world, and then your base is gone, and it's just like Brett's going to come in here and absolutely hate us. But we all moved into my base, which was the only one left, actually had supplies and stuff.
Yeah.
But you want to hear something that I'm upset about? Is that they decided, Travis and Sarah decided to move some of their stuff into my chests and combined our stuff together. And I had said, hey, when we go mine and collect resources, we can split that. But they thought we were going to split everything that I had collected in their game. I was like, no, my treasures, my rubies, my stuff, all the stuff I could sell to get some cool shit later. Now we have to divide that?
What I understand is you steal their shit, so what's going on here? I'm confused, because from my understanding is you're the stealer of the group.
I'm the stealer of the group? Why?
That's what I've heard. I mean, I don't know. I'm a messenger, man. I'm just saying.
I have not stolen anything. I've always asked Travis. I was like, hey, man, do you have this? Can you have it? And he was be like, yeah, I'll give you everything you need.
Oh, man, the plot thickens. The plot thickens. So if anybody's unaware of what we're talking about right now, we're talking about the game called Valheim. This is a game that obviously has been something that's become a session of ours in the last couple of weeks. It has now been out for around 3 weeks, roughly, and has sold 3 million copies. It's
damn, already?
Continually surpassing its goal. Well, there wasn't ever even a goal. It was just like, we're just going to sell this shit. Also, yeah, I found out in the last time since we podcasted, this was made by 5 people. 5. 5 individuals made this whole entire freaking world, universe, game, system. And it's crazy because No Man's Sky that fell apart when it launched was made by a team of 30. This was made by 5. And it's more polished and spot on than No Man's Sky was. And it's procedurally generated too. It's crazy. But so that was really interesting. But yeah, we jumped in yesterday. I haven't played since Sunday. Because throughout the whole entire week of the Snowmageddon that we had here in Texas, I was not able to play as much as I thought I would because trying to conserve power. And then I was having to pick up work from people that were unable to work because of power outages. So I was basically picking up steam and stuff like that. So I was working a lot this week. I have to work tomorrow, actually. But there's been a lot of work shit that got in the way. So I haven't played since Sunday. So I came back in there last night, which was Friday night. As you guys are listening to this podcast, it was the previous Friday. And there's a lot of changes that have happened since last time I played. Y'all have gone far. I don't know how far you are, Austin. Tell me about since we last played, because when you and I played, we were getting copper. That was where we were. We were Bronze Age shit. And we were just now getting a kiln. You already had a kiln, I think, or you were using Travis's kiln or something like that.
Yeah.
But I saw now you have 2 kilns and 2, whatever the thing is called, 2 forges or whatever. Not forge.
Yeah, 2 forges and 2 kilns. Kilns get you the coal, which you use to heat up the forge in order, or not the forge, but the smelter, in order to make ore into bars.
Yes. So that's where you are. And then I saw that you also have bees, beehives. So that was cool.
Those came from my other world.
So what else have you explored since last time we played? Because like I said, last time we were just building our forge. We had copper and we just built a minecart. So you've discovered new things since then. What have you discovered?
Yes. So we went into the, so we're mining this one area for iron ore, and you had to go, it's the swamps and there's these crypts and you go inside and you mine for iron.
Is iron after the bronze?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And we were doing that, and all of a sudden we've only heard rumors of goblins and these giant like beasts, like woolly mammoth beast creatures. And we happen to stumble across them. And these like woolly mammoth creatures are huge, huge. And I don't even know if we can actually defeat them yet. So it was really cool to see them. They're in the plains area.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard the goblins, like they like to attack in packs. And if they hit you, they do a minimum of like 100 damage.
Yeah.
So basically, if you fight one, you're screwed.
Yeah.
By yourself. And I was like, oh my God. And then like, so we would have to go along this middle ground between the swamps and the plains in order to get back to our boat. And something was coming at me really quick, and it was the death skeeto, which can one-shot you if you're not careful. And that thing flew right past me, and I freaked out. I think it's on stream. I'm not sure. And I was just like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I was like, we're not ready for this. We're not ready.
Yeah.
So the whole time was just getting iron ore on her stream and stuff, getting ready to fight bone mass.
So what kind of armor do you have now? Like what are you wearing?
So I was wearing, so Travis made me some iron armor.
Yeah.
And I was wearing it for a while. It looks really cool, but I was watching a video and they recommended that you use the troll hide armor because it doesn't weigh you down and you can move faster. So it's great for adventuring and gathering stuff because there's more room in your inventory because you're not weighed down, and then you move quicker. And then once you get all your buffs and stuff and put the Aether buff on, like you're flying across the map. It's awesome.
That's what I noticed about the, because I had the troll hide armor for a long time, and then you gave me your old copper armor, whatever, bronze armor. So I was wearing that. And then last night Josh gave me his helmet because I still had a troll helmet. He gave me that. I'm like, man, my stamina goes down so fast. I can't keep stamina up or anything like that. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I almost want to go back to that, but at the same time, it's like it's nice having extra armor. Probably, maybe, I don't know, but
no, you should keep the extra
heavy
armor.
It just slows me down a lot. And then I found out you freaking mine all my copper over there. I was like, son of a bitch.
Oh yeah. Well, you were on, and it's not like you need it now. We're in the Iron Age. You just forget the copper.
I still need copper to level up to the Iron Age.
Oh, okay, well, we got some copper you can use.
Yeah.
I found a bunch of veins. Like we went, Travis went on this massive sailing spree and like unlocked a bunch of stuff or like areas in the last one.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to do that too on the new map. So there's just, we realized that Travis's server was really messed up because there's a small island that we're on.
Yeah.
But then it takes forever to get to all these other islands around it. Luckily, in our new one, we have this giant island.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of surrounding islands that are fairly close.
Yeah, you can like across a river, basically.
Yeah. But I'm blown away by everything that, like, when we go sailing, like, just looking in the distance and seeing these giant mountains that you can climb, I'm just like, dude, are you kidding me? This is amazing.
I was watching Josh last night. He, like, shared his stream because he was, so you know how, like, you know where my base is? It's up further north of y'all. And then there's, you go further northeast of or northwest of that, and it's like there's like the troll caves or whatever. And then beyond that, there's another mountain. And apparently it's like a giant ass mountain. And Josh was climbing that mountain last night, and he shared a stream, and I was watching it. And he went up to the top of the peak of the mountain, and he was like, dude, look at this. I've never seen height this high in my entire life in this game. And he showed it to me. Like that mountain up there, like literally in the northwest of where I am, is like so high up you can't see anything below you. I mean, he was like way up there. It was huge.
Did he have wolf armor?
Oh yeah, he's got wolf armor. He's got all the shit. He's like all leveled up and stuff. Yeah,
wow.
He's got the, they got wishbones now. Have you the other wishbone yet? So you're like behind the times too. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like I haven't played in one day.
Yeah, so yesterday, so they've done the swamp. They've done the They've done the planes a little bit, but they're like up in the mountains now. They got the wolf armor. They're all outfitted with wolf armor. One of them got, they killed Bone Mass. So they took care of Bone Mass. They got Bone Mass armor, shit, or whatever. And they have the wishbones. So wishbones help you find silver ore up in the mountains. So it's like a little like beacon that like shines and stuff like that. It tells you like, hey, you're within the vicinity of silver. And you start digging in the ground and you find silver. And that allows them to build silver armor, which is what they're working on now. So building like all the whole silver plates and shit like that. So I think Travis is like mostly built silver armor, most of it. I don't know. He's got a lot of it. But yeah, they've done quite a bit there. And they built a portal out there somewhere. And I'm like, son of a bitch. Like they get, there's all these things that I haven't seen yet.
This game has great progression, like really, really good progression, because you just do stuff and you make things and new things are open. And then you got to go out and find more things and different combinations of stuff. And
so here's the shitty part.
You got to collect everything so you can do anything.
So the shitty part. So once somebody beats a boss in the game world, it unlocks new world events in that game world.
Oh, no.
So they've beat Bone Mass in our game world now. So I was so chilling in my house. Josh was up exploring the mountain. Yeah. And then he comes down the mountain, and I hear a noise, and I have a screen text come across my screen that says, something of the mountain. And I have a red circle around my base. My base is all good. And then I look outside. There's fucking drakes flying outside of my house.
Drakes?
I was like, where did these things come from? And so when I read online, apparently after you beat a boss, it opens up the next level tier of world events.
My gosh.
So when you if nobody's played anything but Aether, like the only thing you can have is gray dwarfs like attack your base. Yeah, and then once you beat the second boss, and it opens up the next level tier of difficulty. And then it opens a tier after that, it just and it just keeps going on.
Jogger.
So now that they've beat Bone Mass, it's opening up the mountain level tier of bad guys. So I walked outside my base, and there was like five drakes flying around my base, throwing freaking ice balls at me. But here's the other thing about it, is that they also do cold like vicinity damage to you. So if you walk outside, if I walk outside my house, I freeze to death because I don't have wolf armor. So I couldn't even fight these things. So I was like, Josh, I need your help. Please. I'm about to die because I had no food. Like I ran out of my food. Gosh. I was like suffering. So I was just sitting in my house and these things were like fucking tearing up my base. And I'm like, God. It's
Winter Apocalypse 2.0.
Yes. Yes, it was. It was awful. Yeah.
You're in the corner just huddled, just freaking out.
Yeah. So, and then I walked around our entire map trying to find wolf hide or leather straps to rebuild my tanning rack, because when I dismantled it, they gave me all my shit back. But I finally got the tanning rack set up. I finally got my bronze armor. I'm about to be able to unlock the bronze pickaxe or bronze axe so I can like cut down fine wood, and then getting closer to that. But I just need to get a little bit more copper and tin in order to get... I need like five more bronze bars.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. It's taking a while.
That's good, man. I'm glad. Like now I got to catch up and I feel bad because I'm not going to play till next week for sure. And
wait, really? Oh, yeah. Next week, like Monday or Tuesday, probably.
Yeah. So probably like when this podcast comes out, I'll be able to jump back on.
Same here.
So. I'm getting to the point where I've only put 41 hours in this game and I'm surprised I've only put 41 hours. Like I feel like I've put way more than 41 hours.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was at 80 or 100 at this point, but I guess not. Anyway, I think I'm getting to the point where it's like, man, I really want to play this game, but man, it is taking up all my time. And it takes a lot of time to do stuff. And at this point, like I really like building and things. And obviously, as the farther you progress in the game, like it gets harder and harder for you to actually do anything because you need more of everything. And I just don't know how much more time I can actually give this game as much as I like it. But I did have a really awesome experience where I'll be on and then, or like I'll want to play a game, or obviously I want to play this game. I get on and like two people are on and we're playing, and then they get off. We all get off and then I jump back on. And before you know, it's like Scott's in there with me playing, and then Travis and Sarah jump in. And you know, it's like it's cool to have everyone be able to play the same game.
Yeah.
And like, we're all there at different times and it's just like, oh, hey, what's up guys? Like we're all meeting up. That's the first time that's really happened. Like I know
we haven't had this entire like server, like, or this entire Discord, like active in a single game in a while.
Yeah. usually everyone's kind of spread out, you know, playing their own game, and it's cool to see everybody on, but we don't interact with each other. That's also another issue, is that we have like almost six people in here most of the time, and we're all talking, doing our own things, and it's like we're almost talking over each other, and that can be an issue too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I want to play this game, but I need to do other things in life. I never thought I'd say that.
It is hard because it's, I mean, it's a commitment. I mean, it's a big time commitment, and it's like, if we want to play through the, I mean, it's just like me playing Valhalla right now. It's like, I mean, it's a 100+ hour game. I am 45 hours into Valhalla, and I still have like 70. I counted the other day. I have like 71 missions left. I'm like, that's a lot of missions. I've done like 50, 55 maybe. And I still have like 70 left. So I'm not even halfway through, and I've spent 45 hours on this game. God. That's a long ass game. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. It's $60. I'm getting that much content out of it, but it's like, there's definitely a point where you're like kind of losing interest in some of that stuff. And I'm wondering with Valheim, is that, cause like early on, it's like, it's a mega ass grind. Like it's big time grind, trying to like just collect enough wood to do this and that or whatever. It's really nice having the cart now to like carry that out somewhere and just like, you know, mine a bunch of shit and throw it on the cart and then bring it back. But I'm curious, like, do you get to the point, like, when you start going to the mountains and stuff like that, or when you go to the swamps or wherever you are, like, I mean, because some of the stuff you can't teleport back because it's ore, but, like, do you get, I mean, like, I mean, is it still a grind? I mean, does the grind ever stop? Does it slow down, or is it always stay intensely grindy?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the game. This is what it is.
Yeah.
It is, the grind to go to the next thing, which is you beat a boss and new things open up to you, and then you got to grind a bunch of other stuff to get to the next boss, which I think is cool. And having those bosses really gives you something to work for, which in other games, they don't have bosses. It's just grind away, do whatever you want. And that's, I think, the failure point for a lot of games like this. But like, it is addicting, and it's a tough choice to make.
I mean, it's like last night I spent 4 hours collecting materials so that I could build a tanning rack and build like an advancement to my forge bench, and also build, there's one other thing I was trying to build, but like build three things, and I spent four hours doing it to build those three things. I'm like, that's crazy how much time I was put in that.
I even lose track of what I need to get. Like, oh, I need to go do this. Oh, I need to get that too. I was like, okay, I have my whole little list of stuff I need to do. And then I get back, and I'm like, what the fuck was I doing again? I got all this stuff. What do I do with it? But I do have a really cool story that me and Scott, that happened to me and Scott. And I have it, it's not on stream, but I have it on recording. We're trying to go. So Scott got back on. He needed to go and get go to his body, which he died in the swamp. So he went over there and he got his body back. None of his stuff was there. I think only a little bit was there. So he lost a bunch of stuff that he had.
Was it a glitch, or was it just like, what happened?
I don't know. Someone might have went over there and stole his stuff, potentially. I don't know. Anyway, so Travis and Scott end up making a portal. And so Scott's like, hey, Austin, come help me mine for ore. And I was like, okay, cool. So I went over there, and then he's like, I forgot exactly what happened, but somehow we got under attack. I think Scott was already under attack. And before you know it, we have like 8 guys on us and a troll. And we're in the swamps where there's a lot of water that you have to wade through because it's just how it is. And we're trying to dance around this troll, kill the troll. We have other guys that are coming to attack us, like Draugr skeletons. And in the whole chaos, me and Scott kind of separate a little bit. I could still see him and he could still see me. And we're trying to like draw the guys away and also kill the troll because that's the biggest threat. And before we know it, we go back because we're like, okay, let me go back and get some food to heal myself and stuff and up my stamina.
Yeah.
The freaking troll had destroyed our portal. And I was like, are you fucking kidding?
He destroyed portals?
Yeah, he could just, well, because he had a big old tree log and he just slammed it on the ground and happened to be where our portal was. Luckily, we got our cores back and enough Greywalker eyes to go somewhere else. So I was like, Scott, let's get out of the swamp. We cannot build here. There's just too many enemies. And so we went into the Black Forest, which isn't much better. And so we're trying to run along the coastline. And I shit you not, we had 12 the Grey Dwarfs after us. Wow. And shamans and brutes. every corner we turned in the freaking Black Forest in this island, we were picking up more people to attack us. And I was like, oh my God, Drat, get your ass out. So we had to fight them off. We kind of separated them. It was a whole crazy thing. I got to upload it and find it. And I was just like, this is the most exciting moment I've had in this game so far. It's because we're getting attacked in the swamp. So we left, but it just didn't matter. We're running out of stamina. We're trying to kill these guys.
Yeah.
This guy's like, just leave me. I'm going to Boromir the shit.
Oh my God. I'm curious to check out the swamps, but I feel like there's so much more of like just I've now found the perimeter of our island and I've like traveled the whole perimeter of it and stuff like that. So that like I've done that part, which is good. And I've like marked where all the crypts are that or dungeons that I'm hoping not all have been discovered, but probably have. But now I'm like, okay, now I need to build a boat to get across the water somewhere and start venturing out beyond that. But it's just like I was watching like Josh was sharing his map last night. I'm like, damn, you've gone so far. There's so much of this world that you've seen that I'm like, I don't even know what even is out there. I'm anxious for them to build a because I saw there's a mod out there that allows you to have a shared map. So when other people mark stuff on the map, like it's shared amongst the whole entire team, which I think would be really cool to have. Where it's like everybody can add markings to the map and like have like just a shared map. Because I mean, because it's so heavily co-op experience, like the way it's set up now, like I think that makes a lot of sense to like as you discover stuff, like the map opens up for you. So if I haven't been in for a while, like I can come in and see like what y'all have discovered and like go out those directions.
Right.
And see that stuff without having to like discover it on my own, I guess. But
yeah, I feel like that'll be added in later for sure. But yes, it needs to be a thing and it really does suck. Just like, man, why do I have to mark everything? Like everyone has to mark their own thing. And for the longest time, I didn't do that because I thought everyone saw mine.
Right.
And I saw theirs. But yeah, I mean, it's early access, so there's a lot for them to actually. Yeah.
I mean, I get the idea. I mean, it is kind of nice because there's certain things that like you will find interest in that other people won't. Because I mean, like if you find copper and then somebody else is like way up in the Iron Age like they are now, like you don't really care as much. Well, I guess you could care about is iron. Like you mine iron, right?
Yeah.
You don't make it like you do with bronze where it's like copper plus ore. It's like you just you find iron.
Copper plus tin makes bronze. Yeah. And then you just make iron.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I think the same is with silver. It's like you find silver ore, and then you can like just melt or smelt that down. So, with those, it's like, you know, after you get to that next level tier, it's like you don't really need the bronze or copper as much anymore. So, you're working on bigger things, and that's when it changes up quite a bit. So, I don't know, crazy, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to a game. It is a fun game, but I definitely can see now like there's going to be a point where we're just going to have explored like so much of the map. An area like I was talking to everybody last night. I was like, I feel like there'd be some value in us like every 6 months or maybe even when the game comes out of early access, like just reset the server. Does everybody start a clean slate and start from scratch?
That'd be cool.
New map, new everything. Cool. We don't have all our shit anymore. Like we have to all start from the beginning again.
Like
and do that on a regular basis in some capacity. I don't know what that basis would be, but
yeah,
every 3 months, 6 months, whatever it might be kind of fun just to like have a new world to explore, like, a new map
probably
to
every month.
Venture out. I don't know. Well, I mean, that'll be me playing twice, so probably not that frequent, but yeah.
They're probably going to assume everyone's playing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, no, I mean, not them doing it, but like us doing it ourselves.
Oh,
like, as the owner of the server, like we just wipe it ourselves. Because I don't think Valheim should do it. I feel like it should be more like it's up to the dedicated server person of like, you know, if they want to wipe the server out, you just like reset the world and then you have a blank slate again.
Right.
So we were thinking about that last night. It's like, how do we
really
like what would that look like? And, you know, obviously Travis and Sarah were like, oh, we've spent a lot of time on this shit. We don't want to like lose it. But I was on to Josh and he was on the same boat of like, you know, if the game comes out of early access and it's 1.0, like we should probably wipe it. And just start from scratch. So we have a clean slate, new game, new world. Because eventually you're going to like lose interest in the stuff that you've explored. You've explored so much of the world that it would be fun to just go back to ground zero and build up again.
Right.
And have that sense of newness again.
When we started the new server, like I progressed quickly.
Yeah.
Because you already know what to do.
Yeah, you have a lot of that stuff figured out, which is kind of cool. Yeah. So you can like figure out ways to optimize your time better.
Right.
So anyway.
I think it'd be a smart idea.
Yeah, so we'll see kind of what that becomes. But for right now, obviously, there's so much to explore that, you know, it'll be a little bit before that happens. But I think that could be something worth worth playing with in the future. So
yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, that's our second discussion on Valheim, everybody. So if you haven't played Valheim, if you have any comments or thoughts on how it is, or if you have any really cool videos of like builds you've done or screenshots or whatever, you should send them to us at hello@dnagamer.net. And that's going to wrap it up for the games we played this week. If you want to play games with us each and every week, you should join us on our Discord channel. You can check out that link in the show notes. If you like what you hear, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts or sharing this episode with a friend. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for our video game news.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It is time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. If you want to get involved in this week's segment, you can send us a question or a comment. Not this week's segment, next week's segment, because this week's segment is being recorded right now as we speak. But if you want to talk about next week's segment, you should email us at hello@theinnergamer.net. And that is theinnergamer.net. hello@theinnergamer.net. We'll talk about it on next week's podcast. So without further ado, we've had a lot of interesting announcements that come out this week. One of the biggest ones of this week, well, I say big. So preface, Nintendo announced that, hey, it's 2021. We're having our first direct, our big direct in a long time, because last year, because of COVID and stuff like that, they didn't really have a full on direct. They had a lot of direct minis, but not like a full on, like, hey, this is our big ass direct. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And this time they had a 50-minute long direct that went down. First one of the year, in which they were like saying, hey, this is our first big one we've had in a while. It's going to be big. We're going to show up. It's going to be awesome and great. And then they had it. And then it was like, cool. It happened. It's great. Not that exciting. In my opinion, I don't know. Like, we'll kind of see what happens, but this is the first time since September 4th of 2019 that they've had a full size direct. So it's been literally over a year since we've had a full size direct from Nintendo. And there's been a lot of talk of like, you know, hey, we're going to have maybe a new Switch Pro this year. Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe that's going to happen. I don't know. There's a lot of discussions. Obviously, Breath of the Wild 2 is in development. Metroid Prime 4 is in development. There's a bunch of games that are like coming up that we don't know about. Well, if you expected that to come from this direct, you didn't get it. So that's great. But what we did get is a couple of announcements. They're bringing some Xenoblade Chronicles characters to Smash Brothers. Cool. Not really that exciting. Yay. It's fine. Whatever. They are going to bring out Breath of the Wild 2 news later this year, but they aren't going to show it yet. But they will have it later.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Exactly. Skyward Sword, which is the Wii Legend of Zelda, is coming in HD form to the Nintendo Switch with both hand motion controls, but also controls, which people were excited about because like Skyward Sword was only playable with like motion controls before with the Wii nunchucks and shit like that. Now you can actually use buttons to play it, but it's still weird because it's like they have the slashing where you have to like use the right trigger stick to like slash up, down, left, right, or whatever. So that's happening, but I don't know if anybody's like super hyped on Skyward Sword. A lot of people want Wind Waker from the previous console, but that's not here. Splatoon 3 was announced, which was a very odd announcement. Have you seen the trailer for this yet, Austin?
I did.
I don't get it.
I thought it was a single player game.
Well, it looked like I mean, because Splatoon 2 had single player to it, but like,
that's true.
The way that they opened like this up, it was
super
just,
story, like open world almost.
Yeah, it was a very strange introduction.
So maybe there's going to be more here than we anticipate.
I don't know. Probably not. Like, yeah. I'm not getting my hopes of a Splatoon because the last one came out in 2017. So, I mean, it's what, been four years, I guess, since they've had one. But
honestly, I really enjoyed it. Like, I had a lot of fun with Splatoon 2, but just no one played it. No one I knew actually played it. And getting into servers was kind of wonky. And when we did, like, we couldn't really join up on each other or create a party with it because it was like early Switch stuff. So, like,
they didn't have Nintendo Switch online yet. They didn't have like online chat or any of that stuff yet. So,
yeah, it was like me, you, and Joe, I think, trying to get in.
Right.
And then eventually it just fell off, which was really sad because I really did like it. And, for the most part, it's like a fun little pick up, play a few matches and put it down.
I'd love to jump back into it. I mean, it looks cool. I mean, it doesn't look anything like revolutionary from what it was before, But I am like, I mean, there's definitely a new story campaign, which there was a story campaign before, but I didn't play the story campaign. I just played the multiplayer. And this one just looks like it's more of that, but with like, I mean, even the graphics don't look much better. I mean, because it's a Switch, there's only so much you can do with a Switch, but I don't know. We'll see if it's any good, but it's not going to come out until 2022, so we got some time on that.
Cool.
They announced Mario Golf. This is probably the biggest announcement of the whole entire event, which is Mario Golf Super Rush, which isn't a great, like, huge announcement, but it is something that I'm excited about because, like, Mario Golf is cool. Like, I just love playing, like, golf games on, like, consoles and stuff, and being Mario Golf is also awesome, and it's coming out June 25th, so it's not super far off. And it's going to have a speed golf multiplayer mode, motion controls, story mode, and a lot more. This is an intense looking game, man. This isn't your grandma's like freaking Mario Golf. This is there's like freaking like crazy intense, like, you know, things you have to pay attention to for like elevation changes in the ground as you're like shooting your ball and shit like that. This ain't no freaking golf it. This is like hardcore shit. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've
never been a big fan. I know people play it and like it, but I'm just like, whatever. It's not my thing.
Right. They also announced a new game that is from the people that made Octopath Traveler.
Yeah.
Square Enix. And it is a HD 2D series coming to the Switch in 2022. And they showed it as this is interesting because it's no longer a RPG, turn-based RPG like it was before. It's like, it is an RPG, but it's a tactical RPG. It's turn-based tactical. So it's like you have the, think of, what's that game you really like? Fire Emblem? Was that? No, not Fire Emblem. What was that game you played? There's three of them. There were indie games that were small.
Banner Saga.
Banner Saga. There you go. It's like Banner Saga, except like the badass like art illustration, art style of Octopath, but like more angled. And the code name is Project Triangle Strategy.
Remember it was Project Octopath or whatever?
Yeah, it was Project. So I'm like, are they going to call this game Triangle Strategy? Like, what the fuck? What is this name?
I don't know. But it looks really awesome, man. And I really love that style of Octopath. And they just like made it better, in my opinion. Because I love this gameplay or the tactical aspect of turn-based gameplay. And then, I mean, if it has a story like Octopath, I'm down, man. I'm so down.
But here's the kicker. You can play a demo right now. So get your Switch out, download that Project Triangle Strategy shit, and get playing.
All right. Because you can play over. I got to go.
It's here. It's here.
I got to go.
And then they announced a weird game, Star Wars Hunters. It's a free-to-play squad-based online multiplayer game made by Zynga, the makers of Farmville. So whenever I heard that shit, I was like, okay, I'm out. Done.
Right.
Don't give a shit.
Transaction.
Don't care. It's a mobile game maker making a Star Wars game. I don't understand. What the fuck? It looked interesting, but it's just like a 26-minute teaser, and it was or 26-second teaser. And and it's made by Zynga. So don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah. Fall Guys is coming to Switch summer. Not as early as I thought it would be, but it's coming out in summertime. Let's see. They also had a bunch of other little things. Ninja Gaiden Master Collection. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity Expansion Pass was announced. Super Mario items are coming to Animal Crossing, so you can add like Super Mario World stuff into Animal Crossing. Outer Worlds come to Switch. You get Samurai Warriors 5. They brought out a new Monster Hunter Rise trailer, which is exciting, but at the same time, I'm concerned because it doesn't look as good as Monster Hunter World because it's on the Switch. And I'm like, will it be as good? Will it be an evolution, or will it be just like kind of a half step forward? I don't really know. And then a bunch of other stuff that like really doesn't really matter that much. I mean, there was some like interesting announcements, but honestly, it was kind of a ho-hum, not exciting direct for like, having seen one in so long. Like Switch like got off with such a bang for so many years. And then now it's just like, eh. It's Nintendo. Like, they've kind of lost my interest now a lot. I don't know how you feel about it.
There's stuff in here that I'm excited about. Like, Smash Bros is cool, but I just don't play that anymore. You know, we don't really have anything. No one plays that in our circle right now.
Right.
Obviously, I want to hear about more Breath of the Wild 2, which is not going to get until later this year, which sucks. Skyward Sword HD is one I never played, so I'm excited about that coming out. And actually, the sword themed Joy-Cons look really cool. I kind of want to get those.
Yeah.
And then obviously Project Triangle, which isn't coming out 2022, which really sucks. But yeah, it's just like, what do we have to look forward to? I'm waiting for the Breath of the Wild 2 announcement. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. There's nothing here that's like super amazing, exciting that I want to play right now, or like, oh, okay, in like 2 months, I'm going to have something here for me to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've kind of like, a lot of their main games have already come out and have like rocked the boat. And yeah. Now we're wading through the water.
I mean, it's like literally of this year, 2021, the biggest game we have coming out is Mario Golf Super Rush. And yeah. That's about it. And then Pokemon Snap, which was announced last year, which will be fun. But it's like, neither of those games are like super long, intense, like Breath of the Wild experiences. You know, they're going to be like quicker, quick to the punch. Like you get in and get out, play a little bit here and there kind of experiences. So there's not much coming from Nintendo this year still.
So far.
Damn.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what they pull out of their back pocket to be like, hey, look, here's some cool stuff happening. Everyone get excited.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Metroid, where's that? We haven't heard anything about that. Obviously, it needs more time. It needs more time. We'll give him more time, but I don't know.
Yep. Well, anyway, so next story we have beyond Nintendo is an article from Kotaku in which the Control developers, Remedy Entertainment, have doubled their profits in 2020 without releasing a new game. So they somehow were able to double their profits, literally. By basically releasing Control a bunch of different times, like in different ways. They brought it out, obviously, on the console, PS4, and then all the other stuff. They did a Steam release after the PS version hit itself in the Epic Game Store. So they brought it on Epic Game Store first, and then brought it out on Steam. And then there's an Xbox Game Pass release, and there was a cloud version on the Switch, and then an Ultimate Edition that was released everywhere. And then they brought it out on like Xbox Series X and PS5. Just a bunch of different times they re-released it again. And as a result of that, they were able to like literally double their profits in 1 year without releasing anything brand new, which I find to be hilarious. So it's like, it's cool though, because this is a game that was such a good game and I had such a good time with it. And, I felt like it didn't get the attention it deserved when it came out. And now here we are with this game now finally getting the attention, like more people are getting it and buying it and like playing through the experience. And I appreciate that. So it's very cool.
I mean, if there's one way you're going to try to get more money out of your game that you made, that's minus microtransactions and loot boxes and stuff, this is the way to do it. And
yeah,
I appreciate that.
Heck yeah, man. Good shit.
Yeah. Just don't do it on Epic Game Store exclusivities anymore. Thank you.
Yeah, seriously, for sure. Well, we have more to talk about that later. But according to an article from GamesRadar, Red Dead Redemption 2 is being used to teach a university history course at the University of Tennessee. So there is this professor who goes by the name of Torre Olson, explains that he'll be using RDR and RDR 2 as jumping off points to explore American history between 1899 and 1911. The course is called Red Dead America and explores colonialism, capitalism, racism, and more throughout the 12-ish years. And he basically says in a tweet, who says video games don't belong in the classroom? I'm a history professor at UT Knoxville. This fall, I'll be teaching a new course titled Red Dead America, exploring the historical reality behind Rockstar Games series. What kinds of topics will be exploring? So it's pretty cool that he's doing that. And he also, it's important to remember that they are using Rockstar Games as a beginning point to discuss the period of American history because, as Olson notes, that both Rockstar Games are often historically accurate, but they can be used to inform and begin greater discussions around the historical period. Basically, like, entice people to come in to this, like, era and learn about it, but not really, like, focus intensely, like, oh, hey, what Red Dead talked about was, like, the truth and all truth and nothing but the truth. So I'm a god. It's not, but it's there and it exists. So you don't have to have a PC or a console, but he assumes the majority of students that attend will be familiar with the games. And he hopes that this unorthodox approach using video games to begin historical analysis will attract students who wouldn't ordinarily attend a history course. So yeah, it's coming out in August, and he's going to be utilizing Red Dead and Red Dead 2 for influences on his history course.
Nice. Yeah, that's really awesome. I think, I mean, it just show goes to show that, you know, we can use video games to push past what video games, I think most people think of it as, you know, maybe like a broader audience or like a broader, the broader community. You know, it's not, it can be used as a time waster. It's not the best. It, you know, can be just an distraction, but yeah, it's like, it's cool that someone can go out there and actually look at a time in history and portray it in a way that can be used for that. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's not going to start a movement or anything. I mean, I hope it would, you know, but it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, I like that it's just like, it's a good foundation to be like, hey, there was this history and time that happened. If you played Red Dead Redemption 2, you've seen it. Now let's talk about it, but in a more historical sense and more realistic sense. But we can pull in nuggets of information from that game to tie back into what actually happened during that historical time. I think that's really cool because I like how, you know, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, when that came out, like, what, 6 months later, they brought out the discovery mode where you could basically go around without fighting bad guys just to learn about the culture and architecture of that era of time. And I've always appreciated Assassin's Creed, the series, for that, and that they're really good at telling you some history of stuff, which, I mean, obviously is glorified in a lot of ways. But they've still been able to capture moments in time and give you insights into those eras that you otherwise, I mean, like, I don't know much about Vikings other than like, I mean, I haven't seen the Viking show, but like, having played through Valhalla, I've been able to see, like, there's a lot of cool stuff reading the codex, the database codex of just neat nuggets of information about real living people that existed back then that did things during this time that are part of this universe. But they've obviously taken their own spin on them, but they give you the historical context as to who they were during that time in real time, which is also nice to, like, just have something to read briefly about, like, okay, this is what this person really did. Here's how we're telling them the story, but here's a little nugget of, like, who they were and what their deal was back in the actual real times of, you know, early century Anglo-Saxon times or whatever it might be. So I find that to be pretty cool that they've lean into that and continue to embrace that way into the franchise, you know, because the franchise has been running forever. They've gone so many different directions, but they still showcase a lot of history throughout the game.
Right.
And the architecture and stuff like that, which is really nice. So, yeah. All right. Well, last but not least, we have probably the best piece of information that we could have during this segment here. I know Austin's really excited about this right now. Marvel's Avengers is back in the news, everybody.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So we got Hawkeye DLC finally here, finally announced, revealed, release date. It is coming March 18th, 2021. If you've been wanting a reason to jump back into Avengers, which I know you have, now is the time. I have convinced Jason to jump back into Avengers as of two nights ago, and it was fantastic that we were able to jump back in and play some Marvel's Avengers, play through the DLC. He got into it so much that he finished the DLC after we played together, and he was like, yeah, I'm into this. And now we just got to get Austin in there, and it'll be great and magical and just a wonderful experience. And yeah, it's pretty exciting. But they revealed Operation Hawkeye, Future Imperfect. March 18th is coming out, and in this, it's going to take place in a story which Clint is one that will be in the present time and one that gives a glimpse of a possible much darker future. The lead up is the same in the story that took place in the Kate Bishop DLC that came out last year. The wastelands of this new operation is heavily inspired by the Old Man Hawkeye comic series, especially the Eye for an Eye collection. And in this comic book series, the world's villains organized to eliminate all superheroes, and the world collapsed from there. Hawkeye was spared and had to watch a tragedy take place, all while working towards the moment he eventually avenges the fallen heroes. And this one, Old Man Hawkeye is retired while the Kree invasion has happened. He wasn't part of the fight, but has tried to make it up for decades. He is also following Nick Fury's trail through the wastelands to make things right. So a lot of happening here. A lot of future, a lot of past, different versions of Hawkeye going on. A lot of skins, obviously. And a lot of new abilities that Hawkeye has that a lot of people were like, well, maybe probably Hawkeye is going to be like just a rinse and repeat of Kate Bishop. But it seems like that's not necessarily the case, because whereas like Kate Bishop is more, she's a little slower of a character, I'd say, with her archer abilities. Hawkeye seems to be a little bit faster. And then Kate Bishop has her teleportation abilities. And I feel like Hawkeye is more, he doesn't teleport as much, but he has a lot of cool things where like he's got this support effect where he like uses his L1 to like drop out like a beacon. He shoots an arrow out that creates like a beacon of healing to heal your willpower within a vicinity area of where you are. So kind of like Kamala Khan's healing spirit that she has. So it's that kind of ability. And then he's got another one that like shoots up an arrow up in the sky, explodes in midair, and drops like damage down from like the sky using his arrow shot. So he has a lot of stuff that's like precision shot mechanics, whereas like Kate Bishop's more of like you shoot with your arrow, but you're also doing a lot of like melee combat with her, and he's definitely more like precision striking with the arrows shots, I guess, than she was. But it's a little bit different. There's the teleportation isn't a thing with him, but I like that. And then we have Maestro, who's appearing, which is like Bad Hulk, I guess. He'll be a bad guy. So that's cool. Bad Hulk. Yeah, Bad Hulk.
I like that.
So he has sword abilities, quick draw reflexes, allow him to sidestep incoming attacks, and parry with a fast staggering bow shot, Deadeye skill that can focus his aim on a single opponent. He can also use 10 different arrow types, including grapple arrows, boomerang arrows, implosion arrows, tripwire shot, rocket arrows, pulsar arrows, nightstorm arrows, recovery arrows, and his ultimate heroic hunter's arrow. So he's got a lot of arrow abilities. And of course, he will be a character that can be leveled up to 150, just like everybody else. So this will bring our count to 7 heroes within the Marvel Avengers universe.
The grind is real.
The grind is real indeed.
Excited, but not excited.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited, believe it or not, because, you know, I don't know why. I just wanted to kind of jump back into it.
Yeah.
And we're getting closer to this DLC, so it's like I want to catch up, so I'm ready to jump back into it. But curious how long I'll stick around.
Right. And that's the thing with like the Kate Bishop DLC. I'm curious to know how it's going to compare. Because if you think like timeline wise, Kate Bishop DLC was supposed to come out a month after this game release in September. So it was supposed to come out in October. And then Hawkeye was supposed to come out in like November, December. So they were supposed to come out within a couple months of the game releasing. And that didn't happen. So here we are now, like months later, and we don't know what the roadmap is past this point. Like, what are they going to do after this? Because this is going to bring out a new like zone on the map. Mm-hmm. So you have like, you know, your different tab zones or whatever. That's going to bring a new zone to the map. But yeah. I mean, it's probably going to look pretty similar to other maps. I mean, it's just going to be like more desert and more wasteland or whatever.
Right.
So I'm like wondering what's next, because we're only getting one new hero. We're getting one new villain, which is Maestro, which last time we got one new villain, which was basically a change on the Adaptoid. It wasn't much different than the other Adaptoids we've already seen. I'm still concerned about what the future brings for this game, because they need to tell us like, here's where we are now, but like, hey, by the way, Wakanda's coming later on, which there is a mention to Wakanda in this trailer a little bit, like just a brief little like mention. When Spider-Man coming out, we don't know when that's coming yet. There's a lot of pieces that we just don't have answers for.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I'm concerned about.
Right. Yeah, me too. They're not coming up fast enough. And then at this rate, I mean, I just don't see how they keep going. I mean, maybe they have like plans like we're going to get Wakanda out and then that's it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's such a good, I mean, I appreciate that they've done such a good job of like, they're staying true to the comics a lot. And they're definitely pushing a lot of really cool, like when they did this War Table stream or whatever, they were like, hey, we took this content out of this series of comics and here's where where the story was inspired from. And all those pieces were just really interesting to like know that they were like, they're so focused on like the comic stories that like exist there. And I appreciate that they're pulling from that, those eras and stuff like that, because there's a lot of good stuff there that I've never seen before because I don't read the comics. But I don't know how they're going to, because like the future, or not the future imperfect, operation, whatever the operation was for Taking Aim with Kate Bishop was like 4 hours, maybe five tops. So it's relatively short experience. I'm hoping this is longer, but I am doubtful that it will be.
Yeah.
So we can do this in like a night or two. And then after that, like what's next? There's still no endgame content after 150. So like once your character hits 150, you're done. It's like, I don't touch my Hulk anymore because there's nothing to do with him anymore. Cause there's nothing to level up or grind or anything like that.
Yeah. That's to say I feel about Iron Man, even though he's my favorite character.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with him.
Right. There are also
challenge levels or something.
Yeah, maybe they just need to bring the raid out and see what that's like. But I'm worried that they like, because it's been delayed so long that it's just broken and they've like are redesigning it or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
because it was supposed to come out soon after the game came out and then they just like scrapped it and we haven't heard anything about it since then. So I don't know. But also on the 18th, they're going to have the long promised PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS patch, which will give us better graphics, smoother frame rates, and faster loading times for everybody on the latest generation consoles. So it's basically like your PS5 free upgrade, your Xbox free upgrade. So you're going to get 4K, 60 frames per second, all that good stuff. And then better resolution textures, better lighting, and then much faster load times. So that'll be also free with the March 18th update.
Sweet.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Avengers. I'm going to play it. We're going to put some time into it for sure. We'll see. We're going to have a full review once it comes out. Will we hate it or will we love it?
That is a very good question.
Tell me, Brett. Which is it?
Oh, we'll love it. I'll love it. You might not love it, but I'll love it. Yeah.
I will enjoy it for a time.
There you go.
That's about it.
All right. If you haven't subscribed to us yet on YouTube, you should check us out at youtube.com/innergamer and subscribe to help us reach our goal of 1,000 subscribers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with our discussion topic where we're talking all about BlizzCon 2021, which is online, about Overwatch, Diablo, and much, much more. So stay tuned.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back. Each week we talk about a hot topic in video games, and this week we're going to be talking about BlizzCon 2021, in which they had their introductory virtual experience that took place, where they talked about all the new things coming from BlizzCon. And we talked about last week how they are not going to be bringing out Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2 this year, which was kind of a bummer. But at the same time, we're like, okay. I mean, this is COVID and stuff like that happened and whatnot, but one of the things I really want to focus on about this discussion is, are we still hyped for these games, for one? And then talk a little bit about what was announced, and then really lean into specifically Overwatch, because that is the one in which they gave a lot of new information about where they're headed with this game. Because last year we were like, what can they do to actually make Overwatch better? Because it was kind of up in the air of, I mean, everything we've seen up to this point has been like, oh, we have a new like single player something. We're going to be like keeping the old game as it is, and players that are playing the old game can still play the new game, but with the old content without having to buy the new game or whatever. There's this weird hybrid stuff happening, but there wasn't a lot of like new stuff that was shown about what is going to be new to this game, other than like a little bit of upgraded skins and like maybe some new characters. So they kind of dove into that a little bit more. So we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about what was announced briefly at the event of BlizzCon. So first up, big and epic and stuff like that. Not really big and epic, but Blizzard Arcade Collection is coming. So there's going to be a lot of Blizzard Arcade games that they had back in the old days that you can play through. So that's happening. World of Warcraft is having a patch called Chains of Domination coming out later on this year. One thing that I feel like I don't understand why this exists, Maybe Austin, you can tell me otherwise, but they're bringing out the World of Warcraft, the Burning Crusade Classic Expansion. So if you're playing World of Warcraft Classic, you're going to be able to go back and play the Classic Edition with Burning Crusade in the classic form, or you can stay in the original classic as it was. So basically you can go back and play exactly the same way it was back then again. I'm like, okay, you've done that before. Why do you want to repeat history? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's because a bunch of things have changed over time. And I think a lot of people actually enjoyed the Burning Crusade, how that game was designed to be played, unlike some of the other ones going forward.
Well, you know what's going to happen, though. It's like every year they're going to bring out like the next, they're just going to repeat the whole expansions again until they get back to Shadowlands or whatever the hell the new one is. And that'll be called Shadowlands Classic. And then it'll be.
Yeah, it's like, how do they plan on going forward? And I think, well, when WoW Classic came out, only then did Blizzard realize how much people enjoyed that. But the only issue with that is that there was only a finite amount of stuff to do in that. So you could, you know, play for a whole month or whatever, or 2 months, and that's it. Like that, you have nothing else, right?
Yeah.
And so there were people were wondering, where does Blizzard go from here? Do they just remake or re-release classic, all the other expansions classic wise?
Yeah.
And just keep doing that, or like what? Like what do they? How do they do classic going forward? And when do they stop? And do they ever like go back and be like, classic is the way that the other game should be played or something? I don't know. And move that going forward and stop that at a certain point. But I could see them going to the next expansion after that, which was, I think, Wrath of the Lich King, and then maybe stopping. That's a buttload of content there that could be classic stuff, because a lot has changed over time. And obviously there's a fan base for that and they want that money. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they said the developers told IGN that they're not against making Wrath of the Lich King classic if that's what the community wants.
Exactly.
So it may happen. We'll see. But I just thought that was dumb. But that's just me because I don't ever play World of Warcraft. So that's that.
Yeah.
And you're paying a subscription for this shit. I don't get it. I don't
know. 2 hours.
Do you pay a subscription to WoW Classic?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, my God.
It's just you get to play both.
It's pathetic. It's pathetic, Austin.
Hey, you get 2 hours. From different times.
But it's the same WoW.
It's not. It's different now.
Okay. Well, yeah, whatever. It's bullshit. All right. There's Hearthstone shit happening, so that's cool. Diablo 4 Rogue Class trailer was revealed. So they announced the new Rogue Class, and they showcased that in a dark trailer. They also went into more detail about the newly revealed class in Diablo 4 PvP. It looks cool. Very exciting. And then Diablo 2 Resurrected was announced. So this is confirmed now that we do have Diablo 2 coming out remastered and a player co-op. And it looks great. It's very much redone. You can press a button to toggle between old school Diablo 2 and new school Diablo 2 with a click of a button. So that'll be really interesting to go back and see kind of how things have changed so much over the years for a game that basically like kind of defined a genre. I mean, Diablo 2 definitely is probably like the iconic Diablo in the Diablo franchise. Just because Diablo 3 had such a rocky road. Diablo 2 definitely was a classic, epic experience.
I never played it.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Like all my friends who own PCs played it. Travis played it and was addicted to it for so long.
Yeah.
Like I remember going over and I'd just sit there and hang out and he would be playing Diablo.
Dude,
it's just like, want to go do something?
Yeah, when I used to go like hang out with Josh and stuff like that, like he and his brother were like obsessed with that game and just like played so much of it. They would farm everything and do like all the stuff. And it was, I mean, I played a little bit of it. We used to play like LAN parties and stuff like that and like jump in and play locally together.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it was great, but not something that I would, you know, spend a boatload of time on, but. I'm definitely going to play this. Like I want to get back into Diablo and I think it'd be fun too, especially because it's going to be cross platform. So you're going to have a lot of new features into it. So it's like I'll get on PC and other people get it on PlayStation. We can play with each other. And
is it cross platform? I said cross progression.
Oh, is it just cross progression? I thought it was cross platform, but okay.
Yeah, I said cross progression. So you can play on any of these. Yeah. PC and consoles with cross progression. So you must.
Well, that's not too bad then.
Yeah,
I mean, you can still then, like, you know, I'd have to get on both systems, but I could get it there and play with people and stuff. So that wouldn't be too bad. But Overwatch 2 actually surprisingly had a big big showcase here. They had like a 45-minute like interview, developer interview with like Jeff Kaplan and their whole crew. And there's no release date. There's no release window. There's no beta date or anything like that. But they did talk a lot more about what they're doing with Overwatch 2 and why it's taking so long. So since we last heard about this game, we knew that there's Overwatch 2 coming out. They talked about should they call it Overwatch 2, should they not, which they ended up saying they should call it Overwatch 2 because of the fact that it is such a, I think it's kind of like a Destiny situation where they wanted to kind of start new and fresh with a new coat of paint, and it would be better just to give it a new title name than it would be to not do that. But one of the things that they are doing is like if you're an Overwatch player, you can still play all the multiplayer stuff that's coming to it, even with the new maps, I believe, with Overwatch 1 without buying the second one. But buying the second one will give you access to all the upgrades visually as well as the PvE experiences that are the big part of this. So a couple of things they jumped into was new maps. So they showcase Rome and New York and how they're trying to capture these new locales in a very interesting, cool way. Rome was a one where they're taking this romantic, powerful feeling of overworld architecture and basically like rebuilding them as if they weren't ever destroyed. So you'll get to see the Colosseum fully constructed in this Rome map, which, you know, obviously now it's like half falling apart in real life. And then New York is recreated in a 1920s Art Deco style with a lot of sci-fi elements strewn in there. So you'll have like Grand Central Station, a bunch of little small businesses that might be familiar in that area of New York. And then the Flatiron Building will be present in here. So it's kind of interesting to see these new real life locations come to life in the new Overwatch game. Thoughts on that, Austin?
I'm actually excited.
Yeah.
About it. Like you said, we saw BlizzCon that time and it was just a trailer and it was like, okay, good. Great. It's just Overwatch.
Yeah.
With a new coat of paint. But yeah, there's a lot of new things here. I mean, new maps is great. But I mean, I was thinking, we talked about it the other day, like how do they make it new?
Where do they go from here?
Yeah, it just seemed like an impossible task without making it more of the same. But having these new like role updates with the skill trees and stuff where you can mix and match certain things or just go all one way is really going to make it interesting to play and then experiment. And I think even the esports aspect of it might get a little more intense because we're going to see all these cool things. Obviously there's a meta and eventually people will figure it out and just be like this one build, right? Or like this is the best builds to have or whatever. But I mean, it's nice that they're going to be able to bring all these characters over and they're all going to have like different aspects that they can play with. And at the same time, this is going to make it significantly more difficult for them to make a balanced meta for this game with all the characters they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would hope they would ditch some or like have a small amount of people starting off, which could be an issue and people might get upset about that. But I think starting off with a small pool and then increasing that over time would be interesting.
Well, they're not doing that, unfortunately. I would like to see something like that where it's like something where you go back to like kind of the kind of like what Destiny 2 just did, where it's like, let's vault some of these maps and things and stuff like that and bring it more kind of focused a little bit. But they did talk a lot about PvP in this interview and they introduced a new character, Sojourn, which is one that's like been hotly talked about and stuff like that because she looks badass. And one of the things that they said that they do a lot with the character design is they try to think of a really cool weapon or something that would be fun for a character to have and then try and build the character around that weapon. So in this case, the weapon that they're using here is a railgun, which is kind of like old school classic shooter where it's got like slow kind of charge up and it fires like a big ass like blast like rifle shot at people. So you kind of have to be a little bit more precise with the shot, but it packs a lot of punch. And right. In this, they were talking about how you know, it can rip through enemy health bars, and they're going to lean heavily on the existing architecture structure of the game. But they're making a lot of experimental changes to just the way the PvP kind of works with they're going to have this thing called role passives, where background abilities affect the entire class of characters. And there's even going to be like skill trees apparently in this game, where you can kind of like build out a loadout in a sense for your character. So it's not just like the one type of character anymore. There's like three different skill trees that looks like you can unlock things as you progress. Could be wrong about that, but that's kind of my understanding with it. And they're putting more emphasis into making tank characters, they're reevaluating tank characters to be not as much damage absorbers, but more up in front, close up brawling characters as well. So Reinhardt, for example, has the ability to do two fire strike charges, where he can like basically charge towards an enemy, kind of like how D.Va does with her charge attack. He can charge forward to somebody and push them, but he can also cancel that charge. So instead of just like pushing until he stops, he pushes forward and can like cancel at any time to like stop early to like shove somebody over a ledge or push him up to the top of a cliff or, you know, whatever it might be. He has control over that. And then also steer the character to like navigate around different areas because of the way that this new charge ability operates. So they're doing a lot of different things with like the different types of tank characters and just the overall characters entirely to hopefully bring more balance across the board so that you're not just so heavily DPS and people will pick other types of characters now. But again, it's like it comes down to the fact that, like you said, there's a shit ton of characters in here, and it's like it's so hard to balance them all because they have so many now.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to favor some over others for sure. I mean, I don't see how you can't do that or won't. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
There's your staple characters, and they're going to want those to be kind of up front and well-balanced and stuff.
Yeah.
But the biggest question is this too little too late? Is there still a big fan base for Overwatch? I mean, does anyone care? Is this just going to be like, you know, a hot topic for the month and then that's it? Like it's over?
Yeah.
Thing. I mean, I know this is going to be a thing for us for a hot second, but I don't know how long that hot second is going to last.
Yeah.
I am excited, but I'm not like, I can't wait for this to come out. It's going to be amazing.
Right. I think it could come back like and get people hyped on it. It's going to take a little bit to like, because I mean, there's so many people that are like in the whole battle royale realm. Like I could see it taking a little bit to like bring people back into the into the game. But I do think that they're thinking a lot into everything's up for transition and change. Like they're looking at every single mode, every single character, every aspect of the game entirely, and looking at ways that they can improve and build and optimize that in every possible way, which I think is important because like they can't look at anything like, okay, this is just how it is, and this has always worked, and we want to keep it this way. They're like, this could change. Maybe it should change. Let's keep that open and then see where things go, and maybe we'll get a better feel out of that. But it does still, I mean, at the end of the day, when you look at the game, it's like it looks like Overwatch. And what will be, other than that, it's like prettier, but like what will be the thing that really sets it apart? And I'm hoping the game modes will do that in some way. They didn't really dive much into that, but they did say like current game modes are going to change in some capacity. Like they're going to have, you know, no game mode is going to be like the way it was. It's going to be adapted and changed to like better fit this next generation of Overwatch.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see that where it goes, but I like some of the attention to detail. Cause like one of the things that they talked about a lot, not a lot, but a little bit was weapon sounds and like weapon recoil and stuff like that. Like more emphasis on the animations and like effects on how weapons interact different environments. So like they sound different inside of like a tunnel versus when you're outside and the way that they sound and the way that they reverberate audio around the area. So like they put a lot of like depth and detail into like every single gun and weapon that you use in the game to like be part of that, kind of add some immersion to the world that you're engaging in, which I thought was just a neat little detail that they were like spending extra time on. and just like, here's a bunch of guns that no matter where you are, no matter what place you're part of, will have an impact. And that even goes into the hero mission modes, because like they have these hero missions that are like replayable co-op PvPs that are going to basically have you jump into missions with your friends that have a lot of like different objectives that you do throughout the world, that you have like, oh, here's a mission here that takes place in Rome and you have to go, you know, capture 50 things and return them back to this thing, or like maybe like push a cart, or, you know, things that you see in like the regular game. But there's going to be like AI players inside that world that you'll have to, you know, basically like fight. And there's a whole variety of new enemies that they've introduced into the PvE mode, from like, there's one that comes in and like has like a, it's like a ticking time bomb, big brute character that comes in the area and like starts like flashing and like ticking, and you have to like get out of the way, otherwise it's going to blow up and like cause AoE damage. And there's other ones that are like flying characters that fly around everywhere and try and shoot at you from the sky, and a bunch of different types of enemies that will be here to like interact with the world. But then there's like situations where, you know, you come back to the mission later on and there are going to be different environmental effects. So like one time you'll be playing the game where there's a daytime, sunset, night variant, and there's also weather conditions that can change mid-match, such as like sandstorms, snowstorms, rain. So like different, based on those conditions during the type of time that you're jumping into that mission, will require you to decide on what type of character you want to bring in there. Because like if it's like a heavy snowstorm, you might be like, well, I'm going to bring this character in because they can see x-ray vision or whatever. And, you know, so, as opposed to like bringing in your traditional character you normally play with. So it allows you to kind of like change things up a little bit based off of what the mode is at that current moment. And it's a way to level up your characters as well, which is, you know, interesting than having to go in like competitive PvP or whatever. Like you can level up these characters outside of that. So,
yeah, no, there's a lot of interesting things here that I'm excited for. But yeah, we need to see what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's too early to tell, but there is some hype here, I think.
Yeah. Well, they also have the campaign. So they also talked a little bit about that. So that's where your campaign centers on the members of the Overwatch being brought back together to work out what's behind a second Omnic Uprising. Each one will have cinematic intros and outros with seamless cuts to and from gameplay. Every story mission is a custom-built map and are described as, quote, absolutely gigantic. So brand new maps that you've never seen before, worlds and stuff to explore, and then different heroes you can play with that will have voice lines and all kinds of stuff in a new realm that's not just like, you know, what you've already been in and played in previous maps and arenas and stuff like that. So that's kind of cool that it's, I mean, it sounds like it's a pretty, they didn't show too much on it, but they did talk about different areas you're going to travel to. And it sounds like it's definitely, it's not just an afterthought. Like this is a full-on campaign.
Thank goodness.
Which is awesome.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, for sure.
At least play and get through that.
Yeah.
And I said something you can always come back to. Like, it's something you want to, you can do week in and week out. Like, they're trying to make it very, very, make your gameplay vary. So it's not, even though you're doing the same map, it feels different. And I think that's really, really good to have.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's just, it's hard to execute that and think of all the possibilities because you can only have so many possibilities unless, yeah, you add a lot more time and effort into a game, which they might. They might put a lot of time and effort into this game to make it something that's astounding. Yeah. Again.
Well, I mean, we thought it was coming out this year, and you know, it's now it's not till probably next year. So they must be trying to push it to the next level, which is good. So yeah. I hope so. I also lied about the skill trees earlier. Turns out they're just for PvE. So they're not going to be in competitive. You'll have those skill trees that are built for the PvE experiences, hero progression in those areas there. So
I lied too.
Seven tiers of progress down, unlock with skill points with choices of abilities made on the way down the tree. So yeah, that's going to be an ability. And then of course you're going to have like redesigned skins and stuff that they've been looking at for different ways to change up the way the character looks and stuff. So there's not going to be much significantly different changes, but like McCree has a full beard. Pharah is going to have a different, you know, visor. Reaper is going to be more fully armored. Widowmaker's got more of a cyberpunk aesthetic going on. Ponytail, the braid. things of that nature. So, yeah, so interesting stuff. But if you haven't gone and looked at like all the videos and content that they release, like there's just look up Overwatch 2 BlizzCon and you'll see all the video content from it. But they showed a lot of gameplay, which the UI doesn't look heavily changed. It's just a little bit more kind of simplified, I'd say, but otherwise pretty similar. But definitely the visuals look a lot better, and there's a lot of new features that are going to be inside this game. So yeah, I don't know, I'm excited. I feel like I'm excited to jump back into this game. Like I think when it does come out, like I could see myself getting into it, and I could see us getting a group together to like go into it, because we haven't, what I liked about Overwatch is like you can have a 5-man team, which there's not many games out there that allow you to have up to 5 players playing. I mean, with games like, you know, Call of Duty and Apex and stuff like that, we're limited to like 3-4, you know, at most. And this is like one of those few that lets us have like a 5-man squad and play with like our whole, like we can have a whole crew playing in here without having to like let people sit out. So
yeah, that's huge.
That I'm really hyped on. So
yeah,
fingers crossed. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Any closing thoughts on Overwatch 2?
No, I think I've said everything I need to say. Just we need more info.
We need more info. Sure do. Awesome. Well, that's going to wrap up for discussion this week, everybody. If you have any questions that you want to contribute to next week's segment, you can join us on our Discord channel. You can find that link in the show notes. And if you want to add anything to our Diablo or Overwatch, mainly our Overwatch discussion, like if you have any thoughts on like what you want to see from Overwatch, or if you're like, I don't really care about this game anymore, or I'm really hyped about this game, like any of those pieces of information, like let us know in the comments, or shoot us an email at hello@theinnergamer.net, and we would happily talk about it next time. And we're going to take a quick break and come back with our video game releases.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week, let's talk about our upcoming video game releases. We have 3 games coming out as we enter into a new month, a new era of the year of 2021. But first, in February of 26th of February in 2021, we have Bravely Default 2 coming on the Switch. Explore a new world as you fight for survival with your customized team of heroes in this new beautiful RPG adventure. Balance risk and reward in turn-based battles with the Brave and Default commands. And then opening up into March, we have on March 2nd, Harvest Moon One World for the Switch. This is a game where you take a trip around the world in the latest entry of the long-running Harvest Moon series. You ride camels across the deserts, venture deep in the snowy mountains, and even visit a volcano near the town of Lebukin. Can you imagine a world without cabbage, tomatoes, or even carrots? Believe it or not, this is the one where you'll find yourself in the beginning of Harvest Moon One World. As a harvest goddess, the queen of crops herself has vanished, et cetera, things that happen. One thing to note about this game that I read that I didn't know is this game has the name Harvest Moon in it, but this is not developed by the original creators of Harvest Moon. So this is not the Harvest Moon that you grew up to know and love. So those of you that are listening to this podcast that were wanting this to be a Harvest Moon game, it is technically Harvest Moon, but it is not made by the people that did Harvest Moon. The one that is by Harvest Moon is going to be coming out a few weeks later, and it's called Story of the Seasons, I believe is the name of it. So let me make sure that's correct. Yes, Story of the Seasons is coming out, and that is created by the original creators of Harvest Moon. So apparently there's some real like crazy shit that went down business-wise where the name got sold off to somebody else. So the developers that actually made the game are no longer with the name of Harvest Moon, but they went off and made their own studio, and now they're making that game themselves. And that's what's happening. So they're like coming out a couple weeks from one another, and that's what's going down. So it's pretty crazy.
What is life?
What is life? Yeah. And last but not least, on March 2nd, we have Yakuza Like a Dragon coming out on PS5. It already came out earlier this last year on Xbox, but now it's coming to PS5. So if you haven't played this game, this is a good one to enter into, because Yakuza has been around for a while, but this is a brand new character, brand new story in the Yakuza universe. You can become this character, a low-ranking Yakuza grunt left on the brink of death by the man he trusted most. Take up your legendary bat and get ready to crack some underworld skulls in a dynamic RPG combat set against the backdrop of modern-day Japan. So, yeah. And I mentioned earlier that Epic Games Store is going to make a comeback in this podcast. And sure enough, it is, because for the month of February, I believe, Rage 2 is free on the Epic Games Store. So if you've wanted to play Rage 2 but didn't want to pay for it, it's now available free on the Epic Game Store. So you should go pick that up if you want to give it a try and see how it is.
Yeah, we definitely did not like that game.
Yeah. It was okay. It's fine.
Yeah, it's okay.
It's what it is. But yeah, that's gonna wrap up our show this week, everybody. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Time, you can join us on our stream at twitch.tv/theinnergamercast.
If you want to support our show, you can donate on our website over at theinnergamer.net. All donations go towards making the podcast, videos, and streams even better. You can also join in on the conversation over at our Discord channel, so check out the show notes for that link. And as always, if you cannot contribute monetarily, please take the time to share this episode with a friend, family member, or loved one. The more eyes we get in front of our content, the faster we grow, and it helps more than you know. So thank you for your continued support. I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Brayden Husky.
You've been listening to the New Gamer Podcast. Catch you guys next week. Podcast out. Out.
Far out. So far out.
Yeah, we're really far out.